I might come up with 100 ways to solve a problem and 99 of them might not work, right? It's a vulnerable thing, similar to writing a memo, to put your idea out there. And it's very easy for the other people who you're presenting this idea to find 1,000 reasons why it won't work.
I'm Johnny Page.
I'm Matt Verleck.
And this is the SaaS Academy Podcast.
All right, Matt Verleck, I got my coffee, you got the clip, and we're doing a new style of episode today where we've got Jeff Bezos as a guest on the SaaS Academy podcast, or as close to it as we're going to get, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future. But I'm not ruling it out as a possibility that one day Jeff will join us. But for right now, someone on our team, actually, one of the producers of the podcast, Joe Marilla, dropped this clip in our Slack channel the other day and got a good, you know, internal conversation going about how they run meetings at Amazon. So I figured it'd be fun for us to bring that clip on. Let's get Jeff here as close to in person as we're going to get him at this point in time. And let's, you know, hear how they run their meetings at Amazon and talk about, you know, what of what he has shared applies to early stage SaaS companies and what is maybe better off left to Amazon. So let's roll the clip and then we'll jam.
Cool. I love it, man. Here we go.
We'll start with a 6-page narratively structured memo. Mm-hmm. And we do study hall. For 30 minutes, we sit there silently together in the meeting and read.
I love
take
this.
Notes in the margins. Mm-hmm. And then we discuss. And the reason, by the way, we do study, you could say, I would like everybody to read these memos in advance. But the problem is people don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. And they end up coming to the meeting having only skimmed the memo or maybe not read it at all. And they're trying to catch up. And they're also bluffing like they were in college, having pretended to do the reading.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better just to carve out the time for people.
And do it
so now
together.
We're all on the same page. We've all read the memo. And now we can have a really elevated discussion. And this is so much better from having a slideshow presentation, you know, a PowerPoint presentation of some kind, where that has so many difficulties. But one of the problems is PowerPoint is really designed to persuade. It's kind of a sales tool. And internally, the last thing you want to do is sell. You want to, you're truth seeking. You're trying to find truth. And the other problem with PowerPoint is it's easy for the author and hard for the audience. Mm-hmm. And a memo is the opposite. It's hard to write a 6-page memo. A good 6-page memo might take 2 weeks to write. Mm-hmm. You have to write it, you have to rewrite it, you have to edit it, you have to talk to people about it, they have to poke holes in it for you, you write it again. It might take 2 weeks. So the author, it's really a very difficult job, but for the audience, it's much better. So you can read a half hour and, you know, there are little problems with PowerPoint presentations too. You know, senior executives interrupt with questions halfway through the presentation. That question's going to be answered on the next slide, but you never got there. Whereas if you read the whole memo in advance, you know, I often write lots of questions that I have in the margins of these memos. And then I go cross them all out because by the time I get to the end of the memo, they've been answered. And so I save all that time. You also get, you know, if the person who's preparing the memo, we talked earlier about, you know, groupthink and, you know, the fact that I go last in meetings and that you don't want, you know, to your ideas to kind of pollute the meeting prematurely. You know, the author of the memo has kind of got to be very vulnerable. They got to put all their thoughts out there and they've got to go first, but that's great because it makes them really good. And so, and you get to see their real ideas and you're not trampling on them accidentally in a big, you know, PowerPoint presentation.
It's definitely a episode worth checking out. So Lex Wiener Friedman podcast, but Matt, he dropped some bombs in there. I got a few that I love to jam on. What stood out to you?
I'm still furiously writing notes. So like for context, anyone following along, I started this podcast this morning on my way to my founder's hike, but I didn't yet reach this part. So I'm like literally taking this in for the first time on this interview right now. What stood out for me? So there's a couple of things. Like, we know the nickname you've graciously bestowed upon me, the writer downer, right? So like, this is right up my alley personally. in the thing that I wrestle with, which is I can't wait to talk about with you, is just like, I think it's easy to see the benefits of doing it this way, but I think the part that is not been unearthed, right, is what are the points of resistance inside of a company that would stop you from being able to effectively implement this is like question number one. And then question two is what's the appropriate size to implement, like company size to implement a process like this? Because I can't imagine, like, if Johnny and Matt are co-founding a SaaS company and it's literally Johnny and Matt, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to write a 6-page memo to like riff on an idea with you. But like in our current company right now, I would love to adapt more of a process like this. So that's what's on my mind. A lot of other stuff we can talk about, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the right time to do it. Look, what's true about the Amazon team that is this operating in this capacity is they have full-time executives and even teams that are purely dedicated to strategic work. Yeah. Like, this is all that they do. They are not wearing multiple hats. They are responsible for taking in information, surveying the market, and making very high leverage decisions. So for this to be how they operate makes sense. But there are times when we are doing that, and every company is doing that. They just for a shorter period of time, it's not all you do. So I think the principle at play here is when we are making big decisions, we think through them and we do it and then we make a decision. I loved his point on we are truth seeking.
Yes.
I immediately, when he said that to me, I'm like, man, how many times have I actually been like trying to, you know, I'm trying to farm for dissent, but I'm actually selling the team on the idea.
Yeah, you're trying to convince someone.
I do a pretty good job at selling them. It's like, I actually didn't get what I wanted was my idea to get stronger or to be beat up and not to do it if it's not the right idea. But because I'm selling it, the form I'm delivering the idea, it actually, I don't get what I'm after. So I think that for no matter what stage, if it was just you and I, it's when you and I are making a decision, we decide to write things down, fully flesh out the argument.
Yeah.
In addition to having a conversation, but we do the written part first so that all of the ideas get out there. And I think it gets us to our conversation to the point where it is constructive, you know, in a way that just having the conversation doesn't allow.
If the stuff that Johnny's been dropping in this episode is landing with you guys as much as it's been landing with me, like, do us both a favor. Just find the share button and share this thing out, you know, in a message or a social media post with something. Like, I'm spoiled. I get to work with Johnny every day. And, you know, he always drops these huge, like, knowledge bombs on me whenever we're working on a problem. But, man, he's been just on fire this episode. So if you want to share it out, that would be amazing. It would just help us grow so much. So hit the share button, share it with your friends. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, I think the truth-seeking part's really important. And I honestly think that we can, you know, ourselves in our current company, we can do a better job probably anchoring everyone around like the premise of truth-seeking versus convincing. There's an example, I saw a clip of this on social media where Jeff gives an example of this, right? Where he basically says, like, compromise is the laziest form of conflict resolution, right? And his example is like, how tall is the ceiling? I say it's 12 feet, you say it's 11 feet. Let's just agree on 11 and a half feet. It's like, it's insane, right? It's how tall it is. Go get a tape measure and figure it out. And like applying that principle to everything, I think it's a very freeing thing. But the other part that really hit, and I'm going to tie it back to something he said earlier in this podcast from the half that I did get to listen to, was around like the vulnerability of putting the idea out there, right? Because Lex had asked him a question earlier, which is, you know, you seem to be a really great strategic thinker and problem solver. Like, how do you think? Do you have a process for thinking about ideas? And, you know, Jeff's approach was essentially like, I might come up with 100 ways to solve a problem and 99 of them might not work, right? But there's one that might work. But it's a vulnerable thing, similar to writing a memo, to put your idea out there. And it's very easy for the other people who you're presenting this idea to find 1,000 reasons why it won't work, right? And so part of what Jeff says he does in those meetings is he'll like prime the other people in the group to say, hey, like, I know there's 1,000 reasons we could say that this won't work, but like, I think there's something here. Like, work with me. Let's try to discuss maybe how it could work, right? And just like index a little bit more towards optimism. And I think that that same like thought process would apply to this, because it is super vulnerable to like put all your thoughts out on a memo, right? Because like my gut is like, I want to write this memo, but I want to also call Johnny like halfway through and be like, hey man, what do you think about this? You know? And it's like, I don't know how to reconcile that yet.
Yeah, I definitely look, what I think this has inspired you and I quite a bit, and we're going to figure out ways that we, what's the SaaS Academy version of doing this? So I don't know, maybe we come back and do a reaction to our implementation of a version. Like, I don't think we're gonna be doing 6-page memos. I was like, maybe if you included, like, how hard would it be to get to 6 pages? I feel like you'd have to have a lot of, you know, contingency plans in there and answers to FAQs. I guess that if you're depending on the size of the challenge and the alternatives, you could probably get to 6 pages. I'd love to see, like, there's probably a structure. You don't just, the obligation isn't 6 pages. There's probably like, you know, the thesis goes up front. There's probably a structure to it. I'd love to see the outline. I bet if we did enough digging online, we'd probably get to see an example of one of these things. But
it's so funny that you say that, brother. Like, I feel like I would have the opposite problem. You're like, how do I fill up 6 pages? I'm like, how do I fit it into 6 pages? You know, and
this is why we work well together.
Yeah, right. Because to me, I'm thinking, like, for this to be effective, there's probably got to be a data component behind it, right? And so I would imagine there's got to be an appendix, right? Where it's like, you're going to fit the must read into the 6 pages. But if you want to know, like, why did I say this conclusion instead of it being Matt's opinion, there's probably some kind of chart or graph or whatever in the back to, like, justify the shit I'm saying up front. So, yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Where does my spreadsheet go? that's the question behind the question.
Yeah. You know what I love, though, from this too, that kind of broke my brain a little bit in a good way, is PowerPoint is easy for the author and harder for the audience. And the memo is the opposite, right? Like,
yeah,
I've never looked at it in that frame, right? Like, am I doing what's convenient for me by building a slide deck instead of doing what's better for you guys to seek the truth? Right, is putting the truth in paper, and it's harder, right?
Yeah, this will be fun. I think we should play around with this. We've got a really nimble and capable senior leadership team who I think would be down for us to explore. I think the next big fork in the road we get to, we're gonna try our own version of, you know, producing a 6-page memo. And see how it transforms the discussion. We've played around with iterations of this, of doing more in writing. Like, we've realized that what you say, people don't always hear. How unfortunately unreliable verbal communication is. And so we've gone a few notches towards writing things down more. But most of the times it's in summary of the conversation that we've had.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a way to do it on the front end, so that we get to the good part of the conversation earlier on. So yeah, I'm excited to play around with this. Super, a really good clip. I'm excited to listen to the rest of the interview. And it was the first time I really heard Jeff Bezos talking. I've heard a lot about him and what they've accomplished at Amazon, but cool to hear a little bit from him on how they've created a company that has, I mean, arguably achieved something that has never been done before.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man, I'm committed. We're going to test this in January. I actually have a big decision I'm wrestling with in one of our product lines. So I'm going to write a memo, Johnny, and you're going to read it. And it's going to be great.
Let's go. I'm excited.
Or not. One of the two.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Matt, good jamming. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Amazing stuff.
It was amazing how easy it was to get him to come on the podcast. It was great. So willing and able.
Yeah, awesome. It was awesome. All right, man. We'll talk soon.